Good morning, everyone. It's Terrific Transformational Tuesday. Welcome to Oh My Angels. I'm your host, Peggy, here on 12radio.com, where we are changing the way you listen to your angels. I am so thankful you chose to be here today and for inviting me into your homes. Starting today, I'm not only going to answer your questions that you post in chat, but after the break, we're going to go back to the call-in number. And Jay has posted it on in the chat room there at the top of the banner. It says 857-232-0155. And then you click onto the extension of 870303. But again, we're still going to do them in the chat if that's what you prefer to do. But I wanted to make sure that you guys got the information. I'm glad to be going back to this forum. If you guys like it, let me know. If you don't like it, let me know that as well. Okay. And before I get started on my normal stuff, I promised Erin that I would make mention. She's going to do a special Halloween meditation on Halloween Day evening at 5 p.m. Pacific, and it's called Connecting with Your Ancestors. I think it sounds absolutely fantastic. So if you're interested in it, search out Erin on 12radio on the web, and you'll be invited into this meditation. I think it's going to be exciting. So anyhow, I wanted to do it because once I get started yapping, you know, sometimes I forget what I'm supposed to be doing. So thought I would let you know. Okay, let's see here. Also, for those of you who are new to my show, I'm also a 12 advisor. So you can find me there 7 days a week. So if you're wanting a reading, just connect with me over there. If I'm not online, request one. Or if you see me busy, go ahead and request, and we'll get y'all sorted. But I'm excited to do the readings as well. I want you to listen. I've been there for quite some time, and I enjoy doing it, and it brings me joy. Also, my website's called Oh My Angels, and it's spelled OHMYAngels.com. You can go over there, and I've got the monthly angel scopes. I've already got November's done, but they're not up yet. They'll go up the morning of the 1st or the evening of the 31st for November. So check those out. And please, any feedback you have on those would be much appreciated because I'm kind of new at doing this. I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun with it. And it's just kind of nice to get the feedback, and I appreciate you guys. Okay, today's show is going to be all about be careful what you wish for. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but I can remember being a kid and, you know, sitting around talking with my grandma, who was highly intuitive. I didn't know at the time that that's what you called it. And saying, oh, geez, you know, I wish I could have this and I wish I could have that and whatever the subject. And she would say, be careful what you wish for. And of course, I would go, why? She goes, because you may get it. And as a kid, I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Because if I'm wishing for it and I want it, why wouldn't I be happy that I got it? Of course, you know, once you get older, you kind of get the message. You know, there's sometimes we really wish for something, we really want something, and we're not looking long term. You know, we're just looking at that one thing that we want. We don't look at all the ramifications or adjustments that would have to take place for all of that to come to be, right? So then you understand what it means, be careful what you wish for. I'm going to give you a couple of examples, probably more than two. You know, when you got your first job, you know, as a kid, 16 years old, oh, I can't wait to, you know, my first job at 16 was working for Sirloin Stockade. It was a, like a Texas Roadhouse, only it was cafeteria style. You had to go down through the line and tell the person behind the thing what you wanted on your salad and if you wanted this or that, and then you place your order and then they bring your steak or whatever out to you. And oh my gosh, I could not wait to get that job. I just knew I'd be the best server ever. You know, you make all these promises. Oh yeah, I'm going to do good and this is going to be that. It's going to be just my dream job. Oh my Lord. Well, then you get the job, right? And then it's all the putting up with people across the counter who are yelling and screaming at you because you're out of whatever it is that they really wanted, or they misunderstood you, that they didn't want that kind of dressing. They wanted a different kind of dressing, or those kinds of things. You know what I'm saying? It just on and on. And I had an experience with my first job where I slipped and fell in the walk-in cooler, and I had dressing hit my face, and I inhaled, which is something you do when something hits your nose. So I got all this green goddess dressing up my nose and down my throat. And to this day, I can't stand green goddess. But again, I really wanted this job. I wished for it. I couldn't wait to get it. And then I got it. And all the hard work that it involved, I had no clue. You know, it was my first, quote, official job. And the cleaning you have to do, and the people's moods, whether it be the customers or your bosses or whatever, it's really kind of a culture shock, you know. Then you get your first check, and you're like, oh, yeah, I calculated, I'm going to get this much money. And then you look, and those taxes were taken out. Well, you weren't expecting that, or at least I wasn't, you know, not that much. So again, I got exactly what I asked for. And it wasn't exactly what I thought. You know, I have a friend of mine who was going to purchase their first car. They had the make and the model that they wanted, the color. They knew exactly what they wanted. They found the car. Supposedly it had been inspected. Everything was fine. And you know how it is when you're listening to somebody else who's got it and they're all excited. You could tell this is what this person had really wished for. And then they got it. And then it starts losing coolant and it leaks and it does this and it does that. But they still love the car. But you could tell they were kind of like, oh, it's not exactly what I was expecting for this particular car. And sure enough, the other night, the car broke down on them. And they live in Arizona. It's unseasonably warm for them. It was like 95 degrees. And thank God they got pulled over to the side of the road. And they had somebody actually come get them. And they had to have the car towed. Again, they wanted this. They wished this. You know, they really could not wait to get this car. They manifested it, right? But they weren't, maybe not specific enough. So even though they got the car, pretty much exactly what they wanted, they didn't consider the things that could go wrong with it. So it doesn't mean that you can't manifest anything or that you shouldn't manifest. It's just, you know, again, be careful what you wish for because you may get it. And then you have to pay, you either reap the benefits or pay the consequences. And to me, if you look at it, even though I've been through, I don't know how many wishes that I really wished for and later thought, oh, geez, what was I thinking? You're still going to get what's for your highest good. You know, maybe you signed up to learn lessons, you know, in relationships this time around, for example. And I'll give you a great example that I went through. As most of you have noted, if you listened to last week's show, I was married to a very violent man, right? And so I'd been married and divorced twice. He was my second one. And so I was in no hurry to get involved in a relationship. So you go down the road, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, and I decided I was ready to start dating. And I thought, well, I'm not repeating history. I'm not going to go through what I went through the other two times. I'm just not doing it. So my girlfriend and I were laughing and talking about it. And I said, and she goes, okay, well, what do you want then? What are you going to manifest? I'm like, okay, I'm going to show you that this manifest thing works. And I'm going to say, okay, what do I really want? I want a guy that owns his own business. You know, I'm tired of having to struggle all the time. And to me, in my mind, a man that owns his own business has got money coming in. And, you know, then the other thing, she goes, well, what else? And I thought, well, for the heck of it, for the fun of it, I said, I want a man who enjoys going fishing. And from some of you might be like, what? But I grew up going outdoors and doing outdoorsy things, camping and fishing, and I missed it. So I threw that one in. And we continued to talk, and I said, okay, I want a man who has his own home. You know, because if he has his own home, that means he's solid. You know, he's dependable. If he's taking on a house payment and he's got his own business, then that shows he's reliable and trustworthy. And, you know, in my mind, this is how everything worked, right? So then I thought, okay, what else? Then I came up, okay, he's got to be driving a Jeep Cherokee. Why? I have no idea. I don't even like Jeep Cherokees, but that's what I put out there. So we laughed about it and I let it go. About a month later, a girl I work with says, she asked me, she said, are you dating anybody? And I said, no, not really. And she says, well, my husband's best friend, you know, is looking to date somebody, but he doesn't like these online sites and that kind of stuff and whatever. She goes, would you be interested? I said, well, as long as we double date for the first date and then I can see if I like him or whatever, that'd be fine. So she let him know. A couple of weeks go by. And my friend, my coworker and her husband and this guy and I all met. And we're all going to go fishing for the day, right? So I'm thinking, okay, this works. Guy likes to fish. There's, you know, check the little box off. Well, he came to pick me up. And he was driving, you guessed it, a Jeep Cherokee. I'm like, ooh, I was getting excited thinking, all righty, the universe heard me. I'm going to be having... This is going to be my man, right? This is it. So then we go through and we go out fishing, and I'm a good fisherman. I love it. I love to fish, you know? And so he'd given each one of us, you know, kind of spread out over this little, he had access to a private lake thing. So he spread us all out, whatever, and got us our own little container to put the fish in, you know, that we caught. And I'm like, this is sweet, you know? He's off doing his own thing. He's fishing his area. I'm over here by myself, kind of meditating, Zen thing, kind of getting into it. And I got into a mess of crappie. For those of you who fish, you'll know what I'm talking about. And they were in season. It was crazy. I was catching them left and right. I had a whole, by the time he came back to check on me, I had a whole bucket full of crappie. And he wasn't really very nice to me. He just kind of barely acknowledged, like, oh, okay, fine. Whatever. So I'm thinking, oh, what did I do wrong? You know, what's going on here? So I kind of blew it off. I thought, okay, well, he's just, maybe the sun's getting to him or whatever. And it wasn't long. He said, you know, he told the other one, see, I think we just need to go. I think it's just time to go because we've got to go back to the house and get cleaned up. And then we were all going to go out to dinner. So we all go back to his house and, you know, take showers, get cleaned up and whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, I don't know what his attitude was about, but I had talked to my girlfriend on the side. She goes, Peggy, why did you catch so many fish? I'm like, excuse me? I wasn't getting the question. I didn't understand. So what do you mean? She goes, you outfished him. I said, and? And she goes, he doesn't like to be shown up. I'm like, well, you know, I didn't know it was a competition, A and B, then that's his problem. It's not mine. She goes, well, you kind of need to make it up to him. I said, no, I don't. I'm thinking, oh, hell no. But, you know, we go on, we have reservations. So we're standing there waiting in line or whatever. And I guess for whatever reason, he was very upset and angry. And I think his stomach wasn't doing so well because he passed gas. And it was real loud. And it was just like, I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, we're in a public space and this man is doing this and he doesn't even say, excuse me. He didn't even give a courtesy to anybody around him and walk away and let it off somewhere else. And he didn't even apologize. And it was the kind of where your eyes water. You're thinking, oh my God, you know, how rude. I'm thinking, oh geez, it's going to be a long night. So then the four of us get into a booth, right? And he has me get on the inside of the booth and he's on the outside. And you could tell that the atmosphere was very strained. And so the guys start chit-chatting across the table or whatever. And my girlfriend's kind of giving me those looks like, oh my God, this is going to be bad, you know. And I'm thinking, I don't know what this guy's problem is. This is crazy. And all of a sudden he turns to me because, did you not hear what I just said? And I said, excuse me, I didn't know you were talking to me. He goes, well, what I have to say is important. I said, okay, you have my attention. And he says, you know that a woman's place is to make a man feel good about himself. And I looked at him and I said, I have no clue what you're talking about just now. Why do you feel the need to be telling me that? He goes, well, I asked you on a date. I said, I got you on that. He goes, I've taken you fishing. I said, I understand that. He goes, now I'm buying your dinner. He goes, and how do you show me your appreciation? You caught that many fish while we were fishing. And I tell you, I sit there and thought, this cannot be happening. This truly cannot be happening. I looked at him, I said, well, A, I didn't know we were in competition. And B, any man who feels threatened by a woman who can outfish him, you know, he really needs to think about, you know, where his ego's at. And he gave me this really, you know, the kind of look I'm talking about, like basically shut up, but not in a very nice terms. And I said, you know, I don't think you understand who I am. I said, I'm not here to feed yours or any other man's ego. I'm looking for somebody who's kind and funny, who likes to fish, who likes to have a good time of going out and being with friends, who treats people decent, and who has good manners. I said, so obviously, not only are you disappointed, I'm extremely disappointed. And I said, if excuse me, I need to get out of the booth for a moment. So he huffs and he lets me out of the booth. And when we had been led to the booth, it was down around the corner from where the front door was. So they couldn't see me. I walked out the front door and started walking down the street. And I called a friend of mine, come pick me up. And so he had to pay for my dinner and I wasn't even there. And I know that was rude, but I just could not believe that that had happened. But again, you see, I manifested it. I was so specific on those particular details, I didn't take anything else into consideration. Or maybe I should have added more verbiage. So it took me a while to manifest again. And now what I do is say I would like to have this in general. You know, these are the things I don't want. You know, and I don't want somebody who's an alcoholic. I don't want somebody who's into drugs. I don't want anybody who's abusive. You know, and then I start listing the things I do want. But I always end it for my highest good, whatever that may be. So see, you have to be careful when you wish, because you may get it. And then how are you going to handle it? And I still have, you know, a lot of things that have happened that I wished for. But now, instead of going and being all shocked when something different happens, now I'm like, oh, I see the error of my ways. I see what I left out, or I see how what I said was taken literal, and maybe I didn't exactly mean it in that manner. You see what I'm saying? And there's a, I don't know if you guys will remember, but there was a, I think it was in, I don't know, it was Jiminy Cricket, and he sings the song, When You Wish Upon a Star, makes no difference who you are, anything your heart desires will come to you. But again, you have to be careful. You know, my heart desires was to find a man who fished, who drove a Jeep Cherokee, who had his own business, had his own home. And this man had all of those. But he didn't have manners. He didn't have humility. You know, he was an arrogant individual. So I didn't take everything into consideration. So it's not to say you can never manifest anything. You can manifest left and right all day long. But you need to manifest with an open mind, not have any control over, not say, well, the only way this can happen is X, Y, Z. Because then you're limiting what the universe can bring to you. But you have to have a good, clear understanding of what it is that's truly your heart's desire. You know, now I'm of an age, if I were to try to manifest a partner, it would be somebody who has their own place to live, not necessarily with me, who's kind and who's generous, who is compassionate, who has good manners, You know, those, that's what I would start with. But it would take me a long time to actually put down what it is I truly want. And I think now what I do, I kind of leave it open-ended to the universe and say, bring me a person in my life that's for my highest good. And even doing that's a little scary because I know I signed up for too many lessons this time around. You know, I think no matter what they were saying on the other side, I was raising my hand and going, oh yeah, that sounds fun. Oh yeah, give me that one too. Oh yeah, I can do that one. And now when it comes to real life, it's like, dang, how much more do I gotta go? But again, I wished for all this stuff. I manifested. I said, yes, I want to be able to experience, you know, domestic violence to where I can share with other people how to get out of it. I want to experience breast cancer where I can show other people, you know, how to move through it or get through it and how you get to the other side. You know, I want to experience being the odd man out of my own family. I want to experience all these things. I mean, I was raising my hand left and right. Now, I've got a couple of good friends that we've promised each other that when we meet on the other side, when it comes time to sign up for these courses, I'm sitting on my hands and I'm going to have them sit on their hands too. We're not going to raise our hands every single time just because when you're on that side, everything sounds great. Oh yeah, I can do that. Oh yeah. Easy peasy. But when we sign up at the time, we're forgetting that we don't carry all that knowledge with us intact when we come back into this life. You know, we just inherently in our soul know, okay, well, we signed up for domestic dispute. We signed up for all this stuff. And so then when it comes up, we're like, what the heck? Where did this come from? Why would I have signed up for this? Fortunately for me, with all the courses that I've gotten through, it's made me realize that whatever lessons that are coming that I still haven't embarked upon, I know I've got the tools within me to get through it. But when you're younger, at least for me, all these things I wished for and I got, some of them at the time, I didn't know what to do. I was overwhelmed. You know, and part of that was a good thing because it made me dig in my heels and dig deeper knowing, I mean, I have this very strong sense of survival. And so for the first part of my life, I feel like that's all I was doing was surviving, just trying to get through one day after the other. You know, my 40s on up, the lessons I've learned since then, it's gone in spurts. You know, I've had long drawn out lessons. And some of them have been dramatic, but I haven't allowed it to, I haven't gotten wrapped up in the drama of it, if that makes sense. And it's like, okay, I can understand why I wish for this particular example to where I could help other people and share with other people. And again, that's one of the reasons I love doing the radio. You guys know more about me than most people do. But I've been led to share some of my life experiences to where those of you who are going through something similar, maybe you can learn from what I went through and not do the things that I did in the manner I did them, but can learn from the errors of my way, if you will. But I'm a firm believer there's really no such thing as mistakes. They're just all learning lessons. You know, and I was in my late 40s, early 50s when I changed my verbiage instead of saying, okay, all this stuff is happening to me and it's, you know, all the drama. I don't do drama anymore. I just say the lessons I need to learn, bring them to me with grace and ease. Because we still have to go, in my personal belief, we still have to go through the lessons that we learned in life, but it doesn't have to be all drama. Again, be the observer, like we've talked about before. Be the observer and go, oh, isn't this interesting? And of course, I'm thinking, oh my God, another lesson I signed up for? Really? At this age? Can't we do something a little bit more fun? But again, be careful what you wish for because you may get it. Or you can tell yourself, okay, this is what I'm wishing for. and ask for guidance that when you get it, you know, the right way for you to get through it, where you can learn the quickest, the easiest, and they have it be something that you can retain in your memory where you don't have to go through it again. Okay, let's see. Let me jump in the chat room real quick, see where we're at. Okay, let's see. Oh, I hit the wrong button. I'm getting there. Oh, I know what else I was going to talk about. Hold on one second before we look at the comments. If you guys have been listening to me over the month, you know, I was all excited they were going to redo my apartment, right? The outside and stuff. Again, this is a great example of be careful what you wish for. I'm used to living alone. I have a couple of friends that come over, but other than that, I don't invite people into my home, into my living space. I keep it pretty sacred. I keep the energy pretty clear. And the first week that they were working on the apartment here that I had to cancel the show, the banging and the hitting and the pulling, and they would pull the siding off and bam, bam, bam with the hammers and the, what do they call it, air gun, with the nail gun. Oh my God, it sounded like somebody shooting rounds into the apartment building. It echoed off, and poor Yogi and I both were just a nervous friggin' wreck. I mean, neither one of us slept good at all that week. And come the weekend, then they were gone. The first Saturday, I slept for 20 hours out of 24. I would wake up long enough for me to go pee and Yogi to go pee, and we'd go back to sleep. It was exhausting. The second week was even more intense because they were putting the new windows in. And Yogi doesn't like, he's not used to men coming over. So these were all men that were coming in and out of my apartment. I had him on his harness and his leash. And he was barking so loud that the decimal point was so loud that it registered on my watch saying, if you continue this for 30 minutes, you can lose some hearing loss. I'm like, oh my God. So I had to buy him a muzzle. That way, you know, the high pitch was just making me hear. I couldn't stand it. But they had people coming in and out of my bedroom and out of my healing room. And it was all this energy mixing with mine. And it was just, oh my gosh, I felt like I couldn't get clean enough. And I'm not saying these people are bad. It's just I'm not used to having somebody else's energy, especially in my healing room and in my bedroom. I mean, that's my private space, right? When I have clients over here to my healing room, I cleanse the room before they get here. I cleanse the room after they leave. So my space is always clear. But now I was getting all this energy from, you know, the living room window, the healing room window, the two bedroom windows, the sliding glass door they took off. I mean, it was just all this stuff coming at me. And it was horrible. But again, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to get the new siding, the windows. This is so exciting. I didn't think about the stress on my energy and on Yogi's energy. So we've been kind of wiped out, you know. And now it's like, I'm ready for this to be over with in a good way. I'm trying to put all the precursors in there to cover all the bases. You know, the windows all appear to be sealed in really good. It's really cut the things down. I'm supposed to be getting a new front door and then new carpeting out in the hallway out there. So I'm hoping it's almost over with. So if you guys can hold that thought with me, you know, that would be absolutely wonderful. But again, that's another way of saying, you know, thank God, or being careful what you wish for, because then you're going to get it. So, okay, well, it's half hour, so I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break here. Then when we get back, I'll jump into the chat room. And again, if you're wanting an angel reading, call in to the number that's listed at the top of the page in the chat room. It's let me jump back over here. I can tell you what the number is. Let's see here. It's the 857-232-0155 and the extension is 870-303. Okay, so I'll start taking your calls and chats the second half of the show. We'll take a break now and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Welcome back, everyone. This is Peggy. My show is Oh My Angels here on 12radio.com, where we are changing the way you listen to the angels and to the world. All righty. The first half of the show, I talked about be careful what you're wishing for as you might get it. And I hope that you guys can relate to that. And the thing I want to remind you of, I think it's great when you manifest things. I think you need to have the balance between being specific on what it is that you do want, but being very open to the way it comes to you, and being open to whatever lessons you need to learn from whatever it is that you've manifested, if that makes sense. And sometimes it can be a fine line that you have to walk. But if you look at it from the standpoint that, you know, to me, the universe and the angels, God, they want you to ask for the things that you need or that you want for you to learn the lessons that you signed up for. It doesn't always have to be drama filled. So take that out of the equation on anything that you're working on. And I'm serious that they will accommodate you. For me, growing up, I was used to the drama. So that's what felt comfortable. I never once stopped to think, I don't have to do this with all the drama. I just thought that's the way everybody lived. But once I realized that, and then I started manifesting, I always reiterated, let me do this with grace and ease and no drama. And let's face it, I've had a lot of dramatic events that I've been involved with. Some of them, near-death experiences. One where I was basically, they said, we're losing her. And they almost, I went to the other side and came back. But the drama left. I stopped doing it with drama. And trust me, if you don't learn anything else from me, trust that you can take that out of the equation. You know, tell, you know, God and angels that you're, you know, you want to keep up with the lessons that you signed up for, but you can do it without all the drama. And when I first started doing that, I kept thinking, oh my God, something's wrong. It feels different. What's wrong? And it took me about 45 days to realize that I'd had some things happen, but all the drama was gone from it. And at first it felt weird. It felt like something bad. But once I realized it's that the drama had been cut off and out of the equation, it made things so much easier. So again, be careful what you ask for, as you may get it. And know that if you do get it, that there may be lessons attached, but they're for your highest good. Okay? All right, let me get here into the chat room. I appreciate you guys being here. Let's see here. Renee Andrews is in the house. Hey, Renee, so glad that you came in. I appreciate having you here. And Quelly, she's here. She says, grand rising, Peggy Reeser. Well, right back at you, honey. I'm glad you made it through the hurricanes and stuff. Glad to know that you're all good. And thanks for showing up. And Kay Dragon is here. Most of you know Kay Dragon is a 1-2 listen advisor. She and I did a radio show together for a while. And I think that she's off that for right now. But I'm so glad that you showed up. Love your support. Denise Simone is here. She says, I just wanted to thank you for the reading you gave me last week on my recent relationship and trusting myself to let go. It's hard when the other person moves on and you're still healing. Thank you for validating my experience. You're so welcome, Denise. I know that's hard. I've been there too, but I think that deep down you were ready for it to let go of it as well. But sometimes it just stings a little bit. And I think what I've learned for experiences like that is it's okay to acknowledge that, but just keep on moving. You know, I told a friend of mine recently who is going through a recent breakup, even though she knew that it was time for the relationship to end, it still stung because she had seen the potential and what the relationship could have been. But again, it was just more lessons to learn to help fine tune for the person that's right for you coming in. So I'll tell you, like I told her, just, you know, congratulations, you know, you're moving through this. You learned what you needed to learn from that person. And now you can move on and you're closer to your person that you're supposed to be with. So good for you, honey. Pamela says, hi, Peggy. I'm 1-2 Tribe. I agree with you, Peggy. I signed up for too much. I have a speech already to have a serious talk with my former self. I know, right? There was a meme I posted a while back, and it cracked me up. It was a picture of a gorilla, and it showed him holding a phone. And they said, this is me on the phone to my, I don't know if it said angels or what it is, to make it sure that I actually signed up for all these courses and to see if there's any that I can drop. Because it's like, really? I really signed up for this one? Really? So, yeah, I'm right there with you, Pamela. So if you get a hold of yours, make sure that they talk with mine, because, you know, there's some things that I think that we can let go of. You know, I think it's time. So, and then we can just graduate this semester. Judith Tapp is in the house. Thank you for showing up. I appreciate you. She says, good morning. I'm back in the house my own father built in 1958 in the basement, in the room that was his original workshop, later my adolescent bedroom, and now a temporary residence between dog sitting jobs, as I also try to look after, after my extraordinarily self-determined 88-year-old Libra Dutch mother. Oh, my Lord, honey. Says, I'm trying to decipher my father's advice to me. My Dutch father passed nearly 30 years ago at 62. His father of 10 died when my father was 13 during World War II, but with brain tumors. If he wants to say something through you, I would love to hear. Plus, thank you so much for seeing the parrot in the 1912 house. So much fun. That parrot is hilarious. I have to be very careful what I say in that kitchen. Yes, because that parrot's a hoot. Full of fantastic personality, and loves engaging with your energy. So I think if I were you, I would have fun with the parrot. Okay, let's just see what we can get from... Okay, what I'm picking up is the fact that your dad, I'm trying to get that, which one it is, it's reaching out. I think it's your Dutch father's father that's reaching through. And what I'm hearing is that he loved that house. And he never really wanted to be anywhere but that house with his family around him. He was really big on his family. And he wasn't happy with the war. And he's got a sense of humor, too, though. He's saying, I told him, fine, you know, they because of the war and the stuff I had and dying that way, if that's the way it had to be, that's the way it had to be, but he wasn't going to leave that house. So it feels like he likes staying there. He enjoys it. He loves watching. He said it's like watching educational TV, living in that house and watching how the different personalities and the things change and the new, he goes, what you call modern technology. He likes watching it. He likes watching all the things that change. And he goes, he's saying he likes it better that side than he does this side here. But he loved that house and he wanted to stay with the house. So he's saying something about a candle. I don't know if there's like an old, I want to call it like a candle holder, but it's like the old fashioned kind. They had the like the little loop on it or whatever, where a candle sit down in the middle and they would put something over it, you know, to light their way during a dark passage or something like that. There's one that he plays with or that he tries to get your attention with. So I don't know if it's in the same room that you're in or if it's in the house there somewhere, but he's wanting you to acknowledge that particular candlestick holder. That's the only way I know how to explain it. I can see it in my mind, but I can't very well. Just looking for an old fashioned, it's like long and pointy and right in the middle and then points out, and there's a place in the middle of it is where the candle goes, and at the very end of it is like a loop-de-loop, and that you stick your finger and thumb through there to hold on to it. Does that make sense? I hope it does. But anyhow, he's saying that's very, it's important, and it's almost like if you hold on to that or you have that close by, then he will connect with you. that you'll be able to, he says, I'm getting better at connecting to those on your side. So he's saying that might help you. He says you're a visual type. And through the visualization, while holding on to that, you'll be able to, and he's saying, he's using air quotes, you'll be able to hear what he has to say. So yeah, Judith, let me know about that. The way he described it sounds pretty cool. So yeah, let me know how that goes. And Denise Simone says, good morning, Peggy. Oh, my angels. Well, good morning right back at you, honey. Thank you for showing up. Joni says, we'll absolutely hold good space for you with your renovations. Thank you so much, Joni. I had no clue what it would be like to be inside of a building while they're pulling off old siding and attaching new siding and taking out old windows and putting new windows in. And I'm telling you, the first week they used, I don't know if you guys have been around an air gun, I think is what they call it. And it's where it's an air nail gun thing where boom, boom, you know, and oh my God, every time they did that, Yogi jumped as if he was being shot. So, I mean, he's not been a very happy camper the last 2 weeks. So he's been a lot more nervous and a little bit more unsettled. Even though I keep, you know, giving him Reiki and calming him down and stuff like that, he's just real jumpy. And he sees all these guys come close to the window. And you can see these big old guys are scared to death of him. They kind of back up and stuff. And I told him, I said, you know, even though he's a little Yorkie, he's channeling his inner Siberian Husky. You know, so you know, don't think that you can reach down and pet him. That's not acceptable. So, yeah. So thank you so much. Definitely hold good space. I think we've got maybe another week and a half. So, okay, Joni also says, I can so relate to your story this morning. My, oh my, so relatable for me. I have learned so much from mine too. I feel like another wonderful chapter is coming for me, profession/work-wise, I believe. Do you see or get anything? Or am I completely open? Or am I completely open to what you tap into regarding me? Right off the top, the bat, I'm hearing you're getting a new profession. It's something you've wanted, but it almost feels like you never thought that you could make any money at it. But I'm hearing that you will. So I'm also hearing a catchphrase, which if you ever watch Big Brother, that's what it says, expect the unexpected. But it feels good. It feels exciting. And I feel like this comes about between now and the end of the year. So they're saying stay open and be in gratitude. Hopefully that will help. Judith says your sharing is very, very valuable. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Judith. I appreciate that. It's really funny. There's been multiple times I've gotten ready to do a show that, you know, I've typed up notes on it and thought, okay, this is what I'm supposed to talk about. And then like right before going on the air, you know, they say, no, we're going to talk about this today. So there's sometimes the shows flow really good. And there's other times it's just kind of like a stop and go because I'm trying to get the information they're giving me. And I was all set mentally for a different topic. And now they've switched topics on me. So, but it all happens the way it's supposed to. I think part of it has to do with the fact that, I mean, they know ahead of time who's going to be listening either live or in the future. And I think, because I've opened myself up to saying, you know, give me whatever messages or what I'm supposed to talk about that will reach the most people, you know, who needs the help. Because that's what I enjoy doing. I love giving readings. I love being in service. And if I can, you know, share part of my life that's going to help somebody else, you know, come through a hard time in theirs, then I'm more than happy to do so. So thank you, Judith. Thanks for the validation. She also says that Jeep guy you're talking about sounds like he was or maybe should have been in diapers. She goes, a man baby or a baby man. Very sad. But I've also met many baby men. Nuts. So many. It's sad and it's scary. Men need to be whole human. Let's see. As do women. Whole is so much healthier. Oh, that's true. And now I look back on it and I laugh. I mean, I don't even like Jeep Cherokees. And I think I was just testing the universe to see if they would listen. And the fact I do love to fish. You know, I'm a competitive person too. But that day I was just fishing because it was so nice to be out in the sun and shores, sitting by the bank, you know, sitting on the bank and fishing. To me, you know, A lot of times when I go fishing, it's just catch and release. But if I'm with somebody who will clean the fish, then absolutely. You know, there's nothing better than a good mess of crappie, you know, fried crappie. Oh my gosh, it's divine eating, right? But for the most part, catch and release is fine with me too. But here I was relaxing and soaking up the sunshine that day and just really thinking, thank you, God. I was thanking God in the universe for this man and for this opportunity to get out there and fish. It was so much fun. And then this idiot had to ruin it by being in competition with me. I mean, pouting and upset that I caught more fish than him. I'm like, seriously, who does that? You know, we were here to enjoy the outside and to relax and be in the sun and to fish. You know, to me, fishing is like, you know, you can solve the world's problems when you're fishing or when you're baking. And that's why, you know, if you look at my regular Facebook page, I do a lot of cooking or baking meditations. And that's because if I'm baking something, I put so much love into whatever I'm baking that it's almost like I get outside myself and I can get whatever downloads are coming for me or whatever information the angels want to give me. I can do that when I'm baking because I'm in such joy when I'm baking and it makes me feel good to bake for others. There's that love connection and it's just joyous. And that's how it was with fishing. So to have somebody take my meditation part of it away that day, just really, I wasn't very nice. You know, looking back, I probably shouldn't have done it, have dealt with it the way I did. But you know, he was a jerk. And I just wasn't gonna take it anymore. So I had to get out of there. I just could not believe a man would be that rude in public and would put me down for, you know, something I really enjoy doing. You know, I just don't see why. I don't care if you're a man or a woman or whatever, why you just can't find the bliss in the situation, find the joy in the situation and go with the flow and not be, you know, competitive. I mean, I can be competitive with just as much as the next person can be. But when you're at that point where you're just meeting somebody and you're gonna act ugly because you got your little feelings hurt because I outfished you. You know, and the more I thought about that night, the angrier I got. I thought, well, that's what you get, you idiot, if you're for being such a jerk. No wonder I got more fish than you did. So, see, I wasn't very nice either. So, okay, hold on one second. Let me see if there's something else in here. Okay, let's see. I think I've got everybody, but let me double check. I don't know why this doesn't stay just the way it's supposed to be too. Why can't you just have continually all comments and then the new ones at the top where you can see, make sure you didn't miss anybody. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Patricia Rich says, hello, Peggy, Jay, and my two friends. Hello, Patricia. Welcome. Glad that you're here. And then Joni says, "In finish the finishing story, what do you feel your lesson was? To recognize him for what he was showing you, who he was?" No, mine was to be more, I think my lesson was to be more specific in what I wanted, that the superficial things don't really matter. You see what I'm saying? So what if he drives a Jeep and what if he, you know, has his own business and his own home and likes to fish? You know, what other kind of qualities does he have? Is he kind? Is he compassionate? Is he respectful? Is he, you know, so it to me just brought a sharper message of paying attention to the big picture. You know what I'm saying? Instead of being vague and saying, okay, I want him to fish, I want him to do this, but what about the other qualities? What if he meets somebody who maybe he doesn't fish, but maybe he has his other qualities, but on top of that, he's super kind and he's compassionate and he's funny, he makes you laugh, and I mean, all these other qualities. You see what I'm saying? And I think that's what they were showing me is it's nice to wish for these particular things, but don't close off somebody that's going to come to you that has maybe three out of five things that you want or four out of five things, but because he doesn't have that fifth thing, blow him off. Because maybe he's got a lot more qualities that are really better suited to your personality than the guy that had the four qualities I was asking for and was a jerk. So I think that's what it was about. I think it was showing me, you know, it's great for all of us to manifest because they want us to ask. You have to ask for it, believe it to receive it, right? So be careful how you ask and what you ask. Be open to more. You know, you could say, I want these things and more for my highest good. You know, the things I don't want somebody suffering from an addiction. I can't go through that again. You know, I don't want somebody who is an abuser. I can't go through that again. It's those kinds of things. So, alrighty, there's that. I'm getting my little message that it's time to go. So, obviously, as usual, take from the show what you will, the rest of it, throw away. Thanks for being here. Please stay tuned. CA is coming up behind me with the Everyday Astrology. Then after her is Kelly Whetstone for Empowerment, and then the Katie Weaver Show. So stay tuned to 1-2 Radio. And until next Tuesday, I'm sending you all blessings, light, love, and angel hugs. Take care, everybody, and thanks again for showing up.